A good Erev Shabbos to one and all. I look forward to learning Mo'or V'Shemesh Parshas Korach together. We'll start with the first piece in the Parsha. V'yikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahas ben Levi v'Dasan v'Aviram b'nei Eliyav v'On ben Peles b'nei Reuven. Perish Rashi Zal. Rashi explains. Parsha zu n'yafa nidreshes b'medrash Tanchuma, an interesting expression that some have even darshaned, what it means yafa nidreshes. This Parsha is well darshaned in the Medrash Tanchuma. Rashi quotes for us a bit of it. Vayikach Korach, lokach es atzmo l'tzad echad. Korach took himself to one side. In other words, machlokas, where people stand opposite each other. One person takes one position, the other person takes the other position. Vizeo shetirgam unkelis, this is what unkelis translated on the Vayikach Korach, v'ispalig, he divided. He was a bar plukta. He was argumentative. He divided himself and divided others. Gam Amru Chazal further tells in Sanhedrin, Shalakach Mekach Ra La'atzmo. He made a bad purchase. He took a bad position for himself. V'tzrichim Lahabin Ma'inyan Mekach Ra. What exactly is a Mekach, a Mikach Ra? It sounds like a bad acquisition. What exactly does that mean? And Gam Alashon Shal Targum, very interesting question, more of a Shemesh asks. The Lashon of the Targum Unkelis of Yispalig, that he divided himself, is also interesting, because what does it mean to divide? Divide means that there was something that was once a connected, unified, singular unit, and then it split into two. Ki lashon haflaga mashma sheneschalku shnei devarim shahayu dvukim yachad v'nispalgu. That there was something which, again, was inherently connected, and then it became divided, it became split. So what exactly does that mean? Who was Korach connected to beyond the general sense of being part of Klal Yisrael and then breaking off? But in what way was he connected, and in what way did he choose to divide himself? Gam Kasha ben Kahas ben Levi, Rashi explains, doesn't say ben Yaakov, Shebikesh Rachim al Atzmo. Yaakov davened for himself that he shouldn't be mentioned, that his name shouldn't be explicitly mentioned by the Machlokas of Korach. Kasha, Mehechan Mashma Davarzeh. So first of all, where do we see that Yaakov left himself out, actively chose to leave himself out? Omepne Shalom Nemar ben Yisrael. Again, this is not such a chiddush. We find very often that the Torah mentions people up to their shevet and not further. So what's the chiddush here that it doesn't say that it's Ben Yaakov, that it stops at Levi? And furthermore, as other Sfarim ask, we know that Levi is the son of Yaakov. It's not like Yaakov is totally hidden from this matter. We know who Levi comes from. But what does it mean that Yaakov didn't want to be associated with this? And what way did he distance himself from this? And again, is this really a novelty that it doesn't say Ben Yaakov? We often find that it goes up to the Shevet and not further. So let's begin with something we've discussed many times, a theme in the Mo'or V'Shemesh. Namely, the Hishtalshalos of the Olamos. When Hashem created the world, Hashem was Mishtalshal, Hashem diminished, or Hashem contracted, Tzimtzumim Rabim, many contractions in order to create the world. In other words, Shetzimtzim es bihiruso bilavushim Rabim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu contracted his infinite light into these many garments, into these many Tzimtzumim, many contractions, constrictions, for the purpose of being able to interact with the world. Ubar behem asa olam umlo'o. To kiviyachol make space for a world when there was nothing other than Hashem. Hashem kiviyachol, again, it's all perception, according to most. There's a perception of a Kadosh Baruch Hu abandoning us. Obviously, it's not an abandonment. Kadosh Baruch Hu making space for us. Hashem didn't actually leave at all. But the perception of a Kadosh Baruch Hu contracting, pulling back himself to make space for the world and all that is contained within it. To receive the chesed of Hashem, the hashpa of Hashem, we need to make a space to be able to allow that possibility. Because if the world would have remained in its supernal illumination, the world would not be able to contain such a clarity. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to allow us to interact with Him, Hashem took the clarity of His holiness and He contracted in such a way, through this, you know, downgrading of that infinite light, And in each world, it became even more contracted and more contracted to make space for the lower elements that manifest in those lower worlds. But here's the secret of the Shtalshalos, that while it appears that, yes, there are layers and there's these degrees of immanence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, and it shrinks, so to speak, with each passing world, and it's stacked one on top of the other, and there's a yirida of a darga from one world to the next. Afal pichin ein hefresh b'neihem. But the truth is, they're all really equal in a certain sense. There is no distinction between them, because as much as it appears to be separate realities, it's all connected to the infinity, to the infinitude of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's oneness. So while, again, there's a superficial perspective of a lower world and a higher world and madrigos within those worlds, at its shorish, at its essence, if we were able to see it more clearly, we would see that it really, there really is no distinction, there is no separation between them. Ki akol davak chad b'chavre v'kolul chad b'chavre. Because each one is attached to its neighbor, to its friend, so to speak, and is contained within. In other words, it's only a perception, again, of this division, but at its shorish, at its root, it's really all one. V'kol achdin v'lo misparshin. It's a oneness that cannot be divided or separated. Ach sadike hador heim ha'umdim b'tzel kel, al yedei sheyesh behem das, hi amida ha'elyona shebashlosh midos chachma bina u'das. Tzadikim who have the das, who have the clarity, who take chachma and bina and refine it to a place of das, and I'll explain what that means in a second. They understand, they know full well, while the appearance is a divided, a splintered world, heim ha'yodim hefresh shebashtalshos kedusha, af sheheim ha'rein d'lom esparshin. They're able to look at the world sort of through these two lenses. On the one hand, to know the truth that it's all one, and at the same time, to be able to appreciate, not just to see superficially, we can all see the superficial division. I'm looking out the window now, I can see a tree outside, so I understand that I'm not a tree and a tree is not me. That much anyone can understand. But to be able to recognize how the tree and myself are essentially one, and at the same time to understand the omek, the pnimius of the Hishtalshlis, of why my neshama exists in my body, and the tree and its sustaining energies exist as a tree, only a tzaddik has the ability to understand that distinction. That's what das is, the ability to understand the distinction, while at the same time not negate the oneness. K'mosha amru chazal bebrachos, like the Gemara says, havdalah b'chonein adas, why is it that on Motzei Shabbos we highlight separation, havdalah, in the bracha of das, b'bnei shu chachma kavua b'birchas chachma. Because it's specifically Das which gives us that degree of wisdom to understand the distinction between different levels of holiness, even though, again, on a certain level, everything is exactly where it needs to be and is connected, again, at its root. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara olamos b'shtei midos, haynu b'gvura v'rachem. But it's the tzaddik who has the ability to understand that while essentially it's one, there still is a perception of different worlds, of different kochos, of different energies. There's something called the gvura, there's something called chesed. There's something called chesed, there's something called rachamim. These are different, again, manifestations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite light as understood and perceived in this world. Okay, so well, what do we do with all that? So explains the more of a shemesh, kavana sabriya haisa, she yichlal midas ha-gvura v'midas ha-rachamim. Obviously, again, on the surface, we would see chesed and gvura as opposites, almost as engaged in some type of machlokas about the correct way to direct the world. But in truth, they're really one. And the goal is that gvura should understand its place within midas harachem. She yichlal, again, in the words of the Mor v'Shemesh, she yichlal midas ha-gvura b'midas harachem. Va'ikar kavanas ha-briya ha'isa, rak le'hetiv le'buraf. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for us and from us is the opportunity to mashpia goodness upon us, who midas ha-chesed. Rak Hashem yizvarach tziref la midas ha-gvura, b'chdei she'yaschar ba'onesh. But there's a perception of a withdrawn HaKadosh Baruch Hu, making space for free will, making space for our decisions, and by extension, the reward or punishment, God forbid, that comes from those decisions. V'akavana haya lichlol ha-gvura b'rachamim. Hashem's intention was that what? That gvura should be contained within rachamim, that rachamim should have the upper hand. Haynu lichlol smol b'yamin, that the left should be contained within the right. The right hand is dominant for most people for that very reason. And the right is on top of the left. When a person positions his hands for Shmona Esrei, he should place his right hand on top of the left. Right? Proper Yiddish clothing, buttons right over left. unlike you know what you might find in a typical department store, right? But any you'll never see a bekasha that buttons left over right. Right, it always buttons right over left because the right is supposed to dominate the left side. The Korach b'machlu kaso hifrid midas harachamim mimidas hagvura, and Korach, as we'll see, somehow divided and split the rachamim from the gvura. Vihita atzarak lemidas hagvura ki lo rata lichlo biyamin. Korach wanted absolute gvura. That's kind of what we'll see Sheva Levi represents, and he didn't want to be subservient to the amin. Now you'll say, why would anyone want that? Who would want complete gvura and detach himself from chesed? But the truth is, it's very futuristic. It's very idealistic. Bereishis bara Elokim. Hashem initially also had a vision of a world that could be, so to speak, gvura, mitas hadin, Elokim. Lasid lavo, there's a notion, tzaddikim described, that will paskin like Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai is a world of gvura, of mitas hadin, as opposed to the world of Beis Hillel, which is more tempered and more inclined towards chesed. So Korach was not mistaken in sort of an overarching idealistic goal. He was mistaken in the implementation of that goal. Lasid lavo, perhaps Korach will in fact be correct, and that's why the Arizal says Tzadik katamar yifrach is sofei tevos Korach, because the tzadik of Korach will sprout at some point in the future. But to enter into a world, to an idealistic world of Bereishis bara Elokim, to separate Gvura from Chesed when we're not ready for it, is obviously incredibly dangerous and perhaps self-destructive, as we see with Korach. Lakach tirgim unkelis. So now we understand. Korach, sorry, I skipped a line. V'korach v'machlukoso hifrid midas harachim midas agvura. Oh no, I did that line actually. Okay, we did that one already. Fine, so Korach with his great machlukas divided the rachim from the gvura. He moved himself entirely into the world of gvura, and he didn't want to, again, he didn't want gvura to be contained within the amin, within the side of chesed harachim. And therefore, lakach tirgem unkelis vispalik, he split something which is essentially one. What does that mean? Ki hashnei dvarim shaya kol zebezeh gvura and rachamim, which are essentially supposed to be connected to each other, not to be distinguished from one another. Hifridam zemizeh, he was willing to split them apart. V'yadua ki avram hu midas harachamim, v'yitzchak midas hagvura, v'yakov hu abriach hatichon hamechaber shtei kitzvos v'kol gvura v'chesed. If Avraham is Rachamim, or Chesed to the extreme, and Yitzchak is Gvura, in a sense, to the extreme, while Yaakov is the middle beam, the central beam, that balances the two of them out. And it's for that reason that Yaakov is that wholesome blend, kind of reuniting the extremes of Avraham and Yitzchak within himself. But Korach was going in the opposite direction. Korach also appeared being a Gvura of Rachamim. Korach was causing a division of Gvura from Rachamim. Alkein lo nemer etzlo ben Yaakov, ki hifrid atzom emidas Yaakov. Therefore Yaakov said, I don't want my name to be attached to this, because Korach truly is a divider. He's taking something which at its root is really one, which is all of reality, and he's highlighting the distinction as opposed to highlighting the oneness. Yaakov is spala alzos, and this is something that, again, Yaakov is the opposite of. Yaakov is the great unifier of the world of Avram and Yitzchak. And therefore Yaakov davened over this, shelo yizacher shemo shel Korach, al Korach, that his name should not be mentioned in conjunction with Korach, ki Korach hifrid atzo midaso, because Korach is the very antithesis of Yaakov. Again, Yaakov being a unifier, and Korach being a true soulful divider. But let's go one step further. Let's do one more piece and go a step further, because we can go further with this pasuk. Od b'pasuk hanal, it's really a new piece, a new idea, but it's a hemshech in a certain sense. Vayikach Korach, Pirish Rashi, Parsha Zo, Yafan, the Dreshes, Pemedrash, Abitam Chuba, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kos, Ben Levi, Lohizkir, Ben Yaakov, Shibikesh Yaakov, Rachim, Al Atzmo, Shalay Yizacher, Shmo, Al Machlo Kosam. Again, as we learned, Yaakov has to be excluded from this. Shenemar, Vakalam, Al Techad Kvodi, I don't want to be part of this troublemaking, this Machlokas. Vine Lachorhu Tmua, and again, we have to ask. Lama hispalo shelo yizacher shmo machlokoso shel Korach davko. If Yaakov is a person who is the embodiment of shalom, which he is in a certain sense, of MS, which he is in a certain sense, so why was Yaakov so anti being included in this machlokas? I would think Yaakov wouldn't want to be part of any machlokas. Right? Why specifically here? This is highlighting the fact that Yaakov davko didn't want to be associated specifically with this type of machlokas. Why Yaakov? Why not daven that Levi also shouldn't have a sheikhus to this machlokas? Why not daven that Kohos and Yitzhar, who were also tzaddikim gedolim, shouldn't have a sheiches to this machlokas. But lama hikvin al shemo dafka? Why was it that Yaakov specifically wanted to distance himself, by extension his name, which means his midah, as we'll see, from this machlokas? So perhaps we can explain based on a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. V'nira l'tareis v'hekta Mishnah Yud Gimel Perakei de Avos, where it teaches us about machlokas. V'zeh l'shono. Kol machlokas shi l'shem shemayim sofa l'skayim. Any machlokas that is purely motivated will have lasting power. In other words, something good will come from it. But a machlokas that is improperly motivated or inspired will eventually lead to chorban, to destruction. What's an example, says the Mishnah, Eizehu machlokas shi l'shem shemayim, zo machlokas hil v'shamay. What's a machlokas that's not l'shem shemayim? Zeh machlokas korach v'chol adaso. Says the Rebbe of Elimelech al-Lezhensk in a Sefer Noam Elimelech, quoted here again by his beloved Talmud, the Mor v'Shemesh, Shepirish amachlokas korach v'chol adaso. The Rebbe Elimelech explained, hold on a second, he offered the following very insightful explanation. And the Mishnah says, what? That it's a machlokas korach? Think about it for a second. Va'adaso. What do you mean korach va'adaso? That's not the machlokas. The machlokas is korach versus Moshe and Aaron. Now, the Melech explains, shedikta b'divrei Mishnah. V'she'eno l'shem shemayim zo machlokas korach v'chol adaso. Why does it say an example of machlokas that is not purely motivated is korach and his chevra? It almost sounds like korach versus his chevra. It should have said the one who Moshe and Aaron, who Korach actually confronted, which was Moshe and Aaron. Mafarish Uzal, Sir Melchel Lejens explains, Shakorach Hayacholik ala imadaso, that in fact Korach was in a state of machlokas, even with his comrades, even with his companions. Shein ba'atzam gam kin hayusonim zeasa. They also despised each other. In other words, each one also felt, I want to be the one on top. I want to be Moshe. I want to be Aaron. I want to be the Kohen Gadol. I want to be the leader. V'chol echad ratzu lios rosh. V'akrav neisha ratzu lachlok al Moshe. Rabbeinu v'Aaron. But since they wanted so badly to what? To debate, to challenge the authority of Moshe and Aaron. So they were willing to what? They were willing to come together for that purpose. How sad. To come together dafka to make machlokas. That's what unified them. Asu shalom l'fi shah. It's reminiscent of Rav Huttner's insight on the difference between ki'ish achad b'lev achad and b'lev achad ki'ish achad. The Jewish people are be'etzem, he says, ki'ish achad, and therefore b'lev achad. Therefore, we're unified in our desires. By the Umas Ha'olam, we find Rashi says, regarding the Egyptians chasing after Klal Yisrael, that it says over there, they were lev achad, and therefore they were ish achad. In other words, because they wanted the same thing, so then they acted together. So it's similar, Rav Huttner explains, that's the fundamental difference between true achdus and in a falsified sense of coming together for some temporary goal. And often that temporary goal is misguided. So that's what we have here. We have Hillel and Shammai, who be'etzem, they argued l'shem Shammayim for the right reason. But you have Korach, not Korach and Moshe, Korach v'Adaso, because even internally they were conflicted. And they only made Shalom to confront the authority of Moshe and Aaron. V'zeh machlokas Korach v'chol Adaso. So says Rav Elimelech of Zhansk, that's the pshat. Korach and Adaso means shebein Korach v'Adaso ha'igam ke machlokas. Ayin sham b'sifra kodesh. Take a look over there in the holy sefer of the Noam Elimelech. V'hineh archiv bir v'osif noifich mishali. But says the Mor v'Shemesh, if I could humbly add my own two cents. D'hineh yesh ledaktik v'mishnah hanal. Lama lo amr ha'mishnah zo machlokas v'shamai u'beis Hillel? Simple question, right? Why does it say that an example of a pure machlokas, machlokas shem shemayim, is shamay and hillel? Why not say beis shamay and beis hillel? And the answer is unfortunately very much the same. V'nira denaka dafka shamay v'hillel. The Mishnah selected shamay and hillel, v'fisha shamay v'hillel chalku l'shem shemayim dafka. Because shamay and hillel truly argued with each other l'shem shemayim. What about beis shamay and beis hillel? Zeh amar halacha kachi, kach sarach lios tachshite kala, v'zeh amar lo kach, ela kachi halacha, v'kach sarach lios tachshite kala. Shammai and Hillel had fundamental machlokesim about halacha. Right? Ketzem rakten lifnei kala, should you say it like this, should you say it like that, how to adorn the kala. These are fundamental machlokesim which are rooted in a desire to uncover the truth of Hashem's Torah, and Hashem's the hanhaga of Torah and mitzvos. Hill and Shammai themselves, the individuals, were purely motivated. Rak l'shem Shemayim, la'afuke tamidehem, d'hainu beis Shammai u'beis Hillel. And again, while lahavdil, you know, elef alfei avdalos, between Korach and you know, and Adasso versus Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, ain't no doma, you can't compare them at all. But in the world of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it was not as purely motivated as the person Shammai and the person Hillel. Each one had a little bit of a negiyah. Hayibanimtsa b'neim kam v'kama shekavanasim hayala eza p'niya. Sometimes by the Talmidim, and I think this is a very important historical comment that the Mor v'Shemesh is making. In other words, the fundamental machlokas between, let's say, the Baal Shem Tov and the Vilna Gaon, or between the Vilna Gaon and the stories of his near encounter with the Baal HaTanya, these are things that are omdim b'rumo shel olam. It's not really our place. Small people like ourselves, you know, what Chazal would call the oizvei hakir, kind of the moss growing on the wall. It's not our place to poke our head into these types of big machloksim. We don't really understand what these things are about. Korach and Moshe, we don't understand what they're really about. So we have to stay in our lane, so to speak, and be very careful how we judge these things. But at the same time, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were a little bit imperfect, because the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov and the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon were not the Baal Shem Tov and not the Vilna Gaon. In other words, we have to be careful how we, take up the machlokas of old and think that we have a shaykhus to the machlokas. We have a right to an opinion in this machlokas. Shezeh Omer Sherebi Shalvi Gadol V'yoyser V'ich Elokim. Because by the time he got to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, once it's already a movement, each one is saying, well, my Rebbe is the best. And the other one says, no, well, my Rebbe is the best. Shezeh Omer Sherebi Shalvi Gadol V'yoyser V'ich Elokim. Shezeh Omer Sherebi Shalvi Gadol V'yoyser. Each one says, well, my Rebbe is the only true Rebbe. My Tzaddik is the only true Tzaddik. Again, I think he's reminding us of the sensitivity that we need in this dafka, this inyan. Not to think that, you know, my Rebbe, my Tzaddik, my yeshiva is the only way in Avodas Hashem. So there was gaiva mixed in, and there was a sense of honor and self-serving motivations that were mixed in. And all of this got mixed in by the time it became a Beis Shammai and a Beis Hillel. And if you'll tell me, well, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, if it wasn't L'shem Shemayim, so how did their Torah survive? So of course it was, obviously there was a lot there that was truly L'shem Shemayim, right? There was certainly a truth that was mixed in there. And their ability to sustain itself is rooted in that. Zahayim epnei shahayim machloksam mu'urav im ha'emes. Right? There was truth, of course. Real Torah truth in the machlokas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And that's what allowed the machlokas to continue. The Beis Shammai Beis Hillel became part of the vibrant, machamta shel Torah that takes place in the Beis Medrash, and it's a machlokas that has lasting power. There's value to it continuing. But to say that Beis Shammai Beis Hillel were entirely l'shem Shemayim, that we're not ready to say. Only Shammai and Hillel themselves were truly, purely motivated. They were refined and pure in that way. This is a machlokas not of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but Shammai and Hillel. But like Rav Elie Melech of Lezhansk explains, Zechusi again Aleinu, this is the opposite of machlokas Korach v'chol adaso, Korach and his internal fights with his own men. Shalo haya kolal bo shum dindud emes klal v'klal afilu kochot asara. It was entirely, and again, we're saying it cautiously, but the words are the words. The Mor v'Shemesh is saying there was no truth to it whatsoever. Again, you'll tell me there's so many svarim that speak about the depth of what Korach's intention was. But on a revealed level, it was totally wrong. It was 100% wrong. Not 99% wrong, 100% wrong. Afilu kochot asara, not even a hair's breadth of truth was found within it. And therefore, if there's no emes, emes is kiyum, emes is existence, emes is lasting, alkein lo haya kiyum klal, it couldn't last at all. As we find, kamosha perish Rashi, kol davar sheker she'in bo ktas emes ein lo kiyum. Anything that is false without any shred of truth will simply not last. And that's why the whole machlokas ended so quickly. Miyad baboker hayakeitz v'sof the machlokas v'nigmar adavar miyad. Everything was dealt with immediately. Menasa din v'hem, and that entire eda was punished. Miilu hayab machlokas korach ma'at mu'urav ve'emes. Even if there was just a little bit of emes kol shehu, then God forbid the machlokas would have continued for a period of time. How is the machlokas able to be concluded so immediately? The answer is because there was no MS whatsoever, and therefore it fell apart as quickly as it gained support. So how, and here's the punchline, how was it that Korach did not have any MS mixed in to his attack on Moshe and Aaron? Korach was a very smart person. He was a tzaddik. He was a Talmud Chacham. He should have known better. He should have mixed in a little MS. He could have at least, you know, continued the conversation. How was he bumped away, pushed away from any small measure of MS? Because it was a tzaddik named Yaakov. And Yaakov's midah is MS. And Yaakov saw what's going to be with Korach. And Yaakov davened that he should have no sheiches to him. In other words, Yaakov with his ruach HaKodesh davened. His palo shalo yizacher shemo shal Yaakov b'machlokasom. That Yaakov should have no chelek in the machlokas of Korach v'adaso. Ki adua shemidas Yaakov vino olav shalom haisa mida emes. As you know, the pasuk in Micha, titein emes l'Yaakov. V'ilu haya nizkar shemo shal Yaakov avinu, had Yaakov's name even been mentioned by the machlokas of Korach v'adaso, that would have been a chizuk chalil of the machlokas, that would have given sustaining power to the machlokas. V'zeh shepirish Rashi, so now we understand. Rashi says, v'lo namar ben Yaakov. L'fisha Yaakov bikish rachim al atzmo. Yaakov davened for himself, in other words, for his midah, daika. Right? It was not as serious to mention Levi or Yitzhar or Kahas. Right, all the other members of Korach's lineage, right, is less severe to have them mentioned. But to mention Yaakov would have been tragic because that would have brought some MS into the machlokas. And it, by providing a machlokas with MS, you're just giving machlokas sustaining power. And that's, God forbid, the opposite of what all of us want. We want a machlokas to be settled as quickly as it started. Kedei shelo yashum tarovas MS klal. U'memela tizbatal ha-machlokas teikaf u'miyad. So two beautiful ideas from the Halakha Maor v'Shemesh for us to think about this Shabbos. For those who have time to look at a third piece, I would recommend the piece that begins Va'ata uvenecha itcha, which is the second to last piece in the Parsha, where he describes how a person doesn't have anything in this world that they've earned. Everything is given to us as a matnas chinam, and despite the fact that we sometimes ask for things and Hashem grants it, and we feel that therefore we've earned it, we should know that it's not really in our merit. It's really a matnas chinam from Hashem. So take a look at that piece if you have the time. I'm sorry we have to stop now for today, but I wish everyone a good Shabbos, and thank you very much for learning the Halakha Maor v'Shemesh with me.